If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What you are about to hear is not casual advice. It is a shift. A shift in how you walk, speak, think, act. A shift in how you interpret your circumstances and command your future. Let me tell you something that most men never grasp until it's too late. Your life bends to your assumptions. The way you expect things to go is the way they usually go. Not because of fate, but because of focus. Because your dominant thoughts pull circumstances into alignment. They shape how you act, how you speak, how you persist or retreat. So what if you assumed right now that everything is working out for you, even when it's hard, even when it's silent, even when there's no proof? What if you lived like the outcome was certain, like the door was already open, and all you had to do was walk through it? That is not wishful thinking. That is mental engineering, and it is how the greatest minds in history rose through failure, criticism, and fear. Henry Ford didn't hope things would work out. He decided they would. He poured his belief into the unknown before the world believed it was even possible. When everyone said the automobile was a fantasy, he built factories. Thomas Edison didn't doubt after his first 100th or 10,000th failed prototype because he assumed success was inevitable. He didn't need to see it. He carried it in his mind, and he acted as if it was already his. Charles Schwab didn't operate from fear. He operated from faith in his vision, a faith so strong that entire steel empires were shaped by it. His certainty was contagious. His belief made other men follow. And Andrew Carnegie, the man who transformed industry and wealth in America? He did not ask, what if this doesn't work? He moved as if the results were already secured. That is the energy that builds legacies. So why not you? Why not now? Why not today? You've spent enough time worrying, enough time hesitating, enough time telling yourself stories rooted in fear. Now, it's time to flip the script. Because the version of you that hesitates, that overthinks, that shrinks when life gets loud, he cannot coexist with the version of you that walks in certainty. You cannot serve two minds. One must die. So today I hand you a new frame, a new filter, a new standard. Act as if everything always works out, not because it's guaranteed, but because it makes you unstoppable. Because when you assume that success is inevitable, you move with courage, you speak with authority, you command your life instead of negotiating with it. This video is your reset, your new operating system, and it is to be repeated, not once, not twice, daily, until your subconscious accepts this certainty as law, until doubt withers in the presence of your calm. Because fear cannot live where faith is present. And the moment you live in alignment with the assumption that the outcome is secured, you destroy fear. So listen with intensity. Speak these truths aloud. Let them enter your nervous system like fuel. Because what we do next is not motivation, and it is reprogramming. And by the end of this hour, you will not think the same, and you will not move the same, and you will not be the same. Let's begin. Let's start with a question that has the power to rewrite your entire life. What if it all works out? Not just the small things, not just the comfortable outcomes, but all of it. The setbacks, the delays, the pain, the silence, the detours, the moments where nothing made sense. What if all of it, every piece of the struggle, is building the exact version of you required for the dream you've been asking for? Most people don't live in that possibility. They live in worry. They wake up bracing for failure. They talk about worst-case scenarios. They expect betrayal. They wait for the bottom to fall out, even when life is rising. And because of that expectation, they unconsciously direct their energy toward what they fear instead of what they want. But there's another way to live, a way that doesn't require hype, a way that doesn't demand perfection, a way that simply asks one thing from you, to believe before you see. Because here's the truth, belief isn't a reaction, belief is a choice, and that choice directs the energy of your mind. The subconscious does not argue with you. It accepts what you feed it, and then it builds around that assumption. If you say, things never work for me, your subconscious says, understood. And it begins filtering your world through that lens. That's what you start to notice. That's what you start to expect. That's what you attract. Not because of magic, but because you stopped looking for anything else. Now imagine the opposite. Imagine waking up, no matter the circumstance, with this quiet command running in the background. Everything is working out for me. Even if you're broke, even if you've been betrayed, even if the path isn't clear yet, you still move like it's happening. You still execute like the doors are already opening. You still build like the foundation is solid. That belief alone, practiced daily, would rewire your entire life. Because when you assume things are working in your favor, you become calmer under pressure. You become more patient in the waiting. You move with power even when the evidence isn't there yet. This isn't delusion. This is leadership of self. Thomas Edison once said, I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work. That's not just perseverance. That's a man who assumed the light bulb was already his. It was just a matter of time. He didn't ask, what if this never happens? He asked, what else can I try because I know it's coming? That mindset is the difference between the man who folds after 3 setbacks and the one who becomes a legend. Henry Ford, when his investors laughed at the idea of a car for the common man, he didn't try to prove himself with words. He didn't shrink into fear. He moved forward like the world was wrong and his vision was already done. And that's not arrogance. That's assumption with discipline. It's the decision to act like it's working, even when you can't see it yet. The weak wait for proof, the powerful move as if the proof already exists. That's what this mindset gives you. It removes the need for validation. It replaces panic with posture. And it installs a new belief system. The outcome is certain. I just haven't arrived yet. So let me ask you again, what if it all works out? What if the delay was divine? What if the betrayal was protection? What if the confusion was construction? What if the thing you're calling a setback is the exact detour that will introduce you to the version of you you actually need? You see, once you install that assumption, once it becomes your default, you no longer fear the unknown. You welcome it. Because the unknown is not the enemy. It's the evidence that something bigger is forming. And your only job is to keep moving. To build when it's boring. To lead when no one's clapping. To act like the outcome is locked in, even if the scoreboard says you're losing. Because the scoreboard doesn't measure your spirit. It doesn't track your faith. It doesn't see what's building behind the scenes. Only you know that. Only you know how deep this decision goes. So say it to yourself right now. I live as if everything is working for me. I don't panic. I prepare. I don't beg for signs. I build in silence. And I will not fold because I've already decided the ending. This is not mindset fluff. This is mental warfare. It is the choice to walk through the chaos with order in your mind, because once you decide how this ends, you don't need to flinch at the middle. Act as if everything works out. And soon it will. Because what the mind accepts, the world starts to mirror. There is one quality above all others that separates the drifter from the builder, the lost from the locked in, the man who watches life happen from the man who shapes it with his own hands. That quality is definiteness of purpose, a clear, unwavering, unshakable aim, a target burned so deeply into the subconscious that it becomes impossible to ignore, even in silence, even in failure, even in doubt. This is not a vague dream, not a list of goals, not a wish list typed into a phone at midnight and forgotten by morning. This is purpose, written with fire, carried with discipline, protected with your life. Because without purpose, your energy scatters. Your hours are stolen by distraction. Your focus is hijacked by the next shiny thing. You chase a dozen paths and master none. You build halfway and then walk away. You mistake movement for momentum, activity for achievement, noise for direction. But when you become a man with definiteness of purpose, your path narrows, your vision sharpens. You stop waking up wondering what the day will bring and start commanding the day to deliver what you have already decided. That's power. That's the beginning of transformation. Look at every man who changed the course of history, and you will find a purpose behind his steps. Henry Ford didn't aim to be wealthy someday. He decided to revolutionize transportation, and he pursued it with a focus so sharp the world had no choice but to adjust. Charles Schwab didn't dabble. He knew what he was there to build. He knew what Carnegie needed, and his purpose was so magnetic that others followed. Not because he demanded it, but because his clarity made hesitation impossible. Abraham Lincoln didn't drift into greatness. He made a decision so clear, so final, that not even a divided nation could shake it loose. That's what you need now. A final decision, a line in the sand, a sentence that lives in your bones, so clear that your mind orbits around it every single day. Let me ask you, do you know your purpose? Do you know without a doubt what you are here to do? Because if not, no strategy, no system, no motivational video will save you. Your progress will always be temporary. Your habits will collapse under pressure. Because the one thing that holds it all together is your why, your decision, your purpose. So write it down. One sentence. Not ten. One. What is it you must build before your time here is done? Who must you become? What must you give? What is the result that your life demands? Not because it's easy, but because you decided it matters more than anything else. That's your purpose. And once you have it, you read it aloud every morning. You write it by hand every night. You don't wait to feel inspired. You rehearse it until it replaces every other thought. This is the foundation of all confidence, to wake up and know where you are going. You don't compare, you don't scroll, you don't flinch, because your steps are already assigned. Everything you do, the food you eat, the books you read, the habits you install, the words you speak, the risks you take, it all bends toward one thing, your definite purpose. And that gives you spiritual immunity against distraction. You no longer envy other men's paths because you are locked into your own. You no longer fear failure because you know it is part of the construction. You no longer need approval because your purpose gives you authority. And from that place, your decisions become easy. Clarity becomes your compass. Time bends in your favor because the universe, your mind, and every atom of your being begins to conspire around one thing, completion of the mission. But without that purpose, even the best habits will drift, even the strongest man will fall, even the most brilliant mind will chase things that don't matter. So write the sentence, etch it into your soul. This is not for someday. This is not for when life calms down. This is the day you stop living like a leaf in the wind and start moving like a builder with orders from within. Say it now. I know my purpose, and I follow it without apology. I no longer wait for clarity. I generate it. My energy is sacred, and my direction is locked in. This is how empires begin, not with noise, but with one decision burned so deeply into a man's spirit that even time itself bows in his direction. And if you haven't made that decision yet, make it now, because the clock is still running. But your focus hasn't been. You've got work to do. You've got power to build. And none of it will happen without purpose. Faith is not something you wait for. It is not a gift that descends from the sky. It is not the result of hope or circumstance. Faith is something you build. It is constructed the same way a building is constructed, brick by brick, act by act, thought by thought, until you stand in the middle of something so strong, so stable, that even your doubts must bow before it. Let me tell you a truth most men will never understand. Faith is not emotion. It is repetition. It is the byproduct of consistent, disciplined belief, spoken aloud, written down, acted upon, until your subconscious accepts it as fact. You don't find faith. You forge it. You train it. You rehearse it until it no longer requires evidence, because it becomes the evidence. And here's the key. The mind doesn't believe what is true. It believes what is repeated. That is why so many men believe in failure, because they've rehearsed it. They've spoken doubt daily. They've imagined disaster over and over. They've aligned their actions with fear, and then wondered why faith hasn't arrived. Let me be clear. You cannot rehearse weakness and expect strength to show up. You cannot marinate in hesitation and expect certainty to grow. Faith, like muscle, is earned through resistance. It is built by applying pressure to your comfort, and every time you follow through, especially when it's hard, you earn more of it. That is why autosuggestion is not a game. It is the gateway. It is the act of deliberately feeding the mind the identity you have chosen, not the one you were given, not the one they labeled you with, the one you designed. That's why I don't tell you to casually watch a video and hope it changes you. I tell you to repeat it, to study it, to speak it back. Because when you do, when you make those words louder than the doubt, something extraordinary happens. You start to believe yourself. That is the root of all personal power. To know that when you speak, your subconscious listens. So you begin each day with command, not confusion. You wake up and speak the script of the man you are becoming, not just because it sounds good, but because you know it is writing new grooves in your mind. And those grooves will become the path your feet walk. Thomas Edison did not succeed because he felt inspired. He succeeded because his faith in the outcome was greater than any single failure. 10,000 times he tried. 10,000 times he found a way that didn't work. But he never called them failures, because his faith was anchored. He had already seen the light before the world did. And every act of effort, every moment of fatigue, every time he reset his tools and started again, was another layer of belief. John D. Rockefeller didn't rise by luck. He trained his thinking like a man trains for war. He believed in systems, in structure, in certainty. And that certainty came not from chaos, but from mental rehearsal. He built wealth in his mind before he ever built it in the world. You must do the same, and you must see yourself follow through. You must imagine yourself moving with power. You must speak to yourself like a general giving orders to a loyal army, with calm, with clarity, with conviction. Because your subconscious mind is listening. It is always listening. And every word you whisper, every phrase you repeat, is either building faith or breaking it. So let me ask you, are you speaking power or poison? Are you reinforcing courage or conditioning cowardice? Are you using your words to lift yourself or lower yourself? Because what you repeat becomes real. Faith is not loud. It is not flashy. It does not beg for attention. Faith is silent, grounded, steady. It is built in the dark. It is built when you show up despite your feelings. It is built when you say, "I will," and follow through without applause. It is built when no one is looking, and you move anyway. That's how Abraham Lincoln led a nation through fire. He wasn't the most popular. He wasn't the loudest. But he believed in the vision so deeply, so completely, that no critic could shake it loose. And when faith becomes unshakable, action becomes automatic. You no longer try to rise. You do. You no longer wonder if you're ready. You move. And your results begin to multiply, not by chance, but by design. So here's your instruction. Write your chief aim. Read it aloud every morning and every night, and with emotion, with certainty, with fire. Visualize the outcome, and not once, but daily. Speak your identity, not as a wish, but as a fact. I am focused. I am disciplined. I act with purpose. I do not flinch. This is not theory. This is practice. And when you practice it long enough, the man you used to be, the man of doubt, of fear, of hesitation, he fades into dust. act and the man of faith rises. Not someday, today. There comes a moment in every man's life where he must make a decision so final, so absolute, that there is no path left to retreat. That moment is not about emotion. It's not about confidence. It's about commitment. Burning the bridge means this. You remove all exits, all fallback plans, all quiet excuses that whisper, "If this doesn't work, I can always go back." No, you can't. Not anymore. Because that man is gone. Let me tell you something that every titan of history has known. You do not truly transform until you remove the option of staying the same. You cannot build a new life while clinging to your old one. You cannot become someone new and still hold space for the person you used to be. You cannot win with your eyes halfway on the rearview mirror. Charles M. Schwab didn't become the president of Carnegie Steel by playing it safe. He wasn't the smartest man in the room. He was the most decided. He carried himself like a leader before the world saw it. He aligned his speech, his tone, his energy with his desired position. And in doing so, he closed the door to mediocrity. When he walked into the room felt it. You want that kind of presence? You must decide so fully, so violently, that your past self is stunned into silence. This is what it means to burn the bridge. It's not symbolic. It's strategic. When you remove the option to quit, when you make it so there is no going back, you activate a part of your mind that most men never touch. It's the part that must win, because it has no choice. Andrew Carnegie demanded this from his men. He didn't want those who were interested in success. He wanted men with one obsession, men who burned the bridge to every other pursuit. He understood this truth. A divided mind is a defeated mind. And so must you. You cannot serve two identities, the man you've been and the man you are becoming. One of them has to die. That means you must remove everything that gives the old you oxygen. Every distraction, every excuse, every person who keeps you small. You say you want to rise? Good. Then it's time to remove the staircase back down. You say you want to become unrecognizable? Then stop keeping souvenirs from your past self. That means you delete the contacts that drain your focus. You clear your space of things that reinforce the old habits. You stop visiting the mental corners where doubt still lives. You destroy the comfort you used to retreat to, because comfort is a liar. It says, you're fine where you are, but greatness never lives there. Greatness begins the moment you close the back door and walk forward with fire. That's what Henry Ford did when he bet everything on the assembly line. He didn't ask for permission. He didn't try to convince the skeptics. He decided. And in that decision, he removed failure as an option. People laughed. He didn't. Because a man who has burned the bridge does not have time to entertain doubt. He is too busy executing. Now listen to me carefully. You will be tempted, more than once, to look back. You will think about how easy it was to be lazy, to scroll, to sleep in, to live without pressure. And that voice will sound reasonable. It will offer balance. It will tell you, it's okay, just this once. That voice is the final ghost of the old identity. Kill it. Do not entertain it. Do not respond to it. Do not explain yourself to it. Replace it. Every time it whispers, you speak louder. I said 90, not 9. I act from decision, not from feeling. I move because I chose this path, not because it's easy, but because it's mine. Do you understand what that does? It hardens your will. It trains your subconscious to believe that your word is law, that your actions are not suggestions, they are commands. This is where the edge is formed, because now you don't need emotion to move. You don't need motivation. You move because the bridge is gone. You move because the man you used to be has no shelter left. You move because the only direction is forward. Thomas Edison didn't hope for a breakthrough. He decided there would be one, and he worked like a man with no alternative. 10,000 failures, and not once did he consider going back. Why? Because he had no bridge to return to. You must adopt the same mindset. Burn the plan B, eliminate the what if. Live as if this is the only shot, because it is. The clock doesn't pause, the world doesn't wait, and neither should you. You have been dancing with discipline long enough. You've flirted with greatness long enough. Now is the time to marry the mission. Fully, finally, without hesitation. Because once the bridge is gone and the fire rises behind you, there is no turning back. Only forward, only execution, only evolution. Let that be the point of no return. Let that be the day everything changed. Let that be today. No man rises alone. No man becomes powerful by staying in isolation. While discipline is forged in solitude, acceleration is born in alignment. There is a force more powerful than willpower, more potent than skill or ambition. It is the power of the mastermind. And it begins with this truth. You become like the minds you consistently align with. Your thoughts are shaped by your circle. Your energy is influenced by your environment. Your identity is forged in the company you keep. You may believe you're strong enough to carry your mission alone, but look around. Truly look. Who do you share your time with? Who do you allow to shape your vision? Who do you speak to most? Because those voices are either building you or breaking you. The mastermind is not just a group, it is a mental alliance, a convergence of aligned minds moving with a shared intention to elevate, not distract, to build, not entertain, to sharpen, not soften. You must seek this or you must build it. That means find men who speak with clarity, who move with purpose, who understand what silence means. Who don't need to be reminded of the mission, because they live it. When you connect your mind to others moving with the same fire, something miraculous happens. You become faster, stronger, more focused. You multiply your energy. You collapse timelines. You begin to unlock ideas you never would have seen on your own, because the mastermind brings perspective. This is not theory. This is the same strategy used by the greatest builders of history. Henry Ford did not build his empire in a vacuum. He surrounded himself with thinkers, engineers, and men of unshakable belief. They didn't always agree, but they aligned. They pushed. They challenged each other into higher forms of execution. Thomas Edison had a mental network of collaboration, not noise. Ideas passed between minds, each one sharpened through shared obsession. Andrew Carnegie, one of the wealthiest minds ever to live, attributed his fortune not to luck, not to capital, but to the power of the mastermind, to having one goal reinforced by many minds united in purpose. Charles M. Schwab, too, rose because he sought alignment with the highest vision and made it his daily environment. The mastermind does not happen by accident. It is created. Carefully, deliberately. But let's be clear. Not everyone around you qualifies. A mastermind does not include people who speak with doubt, people who gossip, people who chase comfort, people who mock discipline, people who wait for permission to move. You must remove them from your mental atmosphere immediately, because a single weak mind in your circle can dilute the fire you're building. Protecting your energy is not arrogance, it is strategy. If a man does not feed your vision, he bleeds it. If he does not mirror your commitment, he distracts you from it. If he cannot see the future you are building, he has no place in its foundation. Let me give you a rule. If you wouldn't trade places with their life, don't take advice from their voice. You are not obligated to carry the weight of others' confusion. You are here to build something different, sharper, clearer, higher. So what do? You form your mastermind by choice. Start with one aligned mind, one voice that sharpens you, one man who speaks clarity over chaos, then another and another, until your circle becomes a system, a structure, a support so tight, so aligned that failure becomes difficult. Meet weekly, speak with purpose, share goals, hold each other to higher standards, eliminate the soft language, maybe. Someday, I'll try. Replace it with declarations, with accountability, with fire. And if you cannot find this circle yet, be it. Be the standard. Speak with authority. Move with conviction. Others will feel it. and they will rise to meet you or fall away. Do not chase approval. Do not try to convert those who are committed to drifting. Just build. Just move. Just live aligned, and those meant to walk with you will appear. This is not about community for the sake of comfort. It is about alignment for the sake of power. Because when a mind as sharp as yours joins with another of equal fire, the laws of success begin to bend. The path gets clearer, the results get faster, the noise gets quieter. This is the hidden power of the mastermind, the power to multiply your mission. So make your decision now. Who do I need to align with? Who do I need to release? And who do I need to become to attract the minds I want around me? Then begin. One aligned conversation can change your life. And one weak one, can steal it. Choose wisely before the action, before the money, before the momentum, and there must be belief, because no man ever accomplished anything of greatness without first seeing it in his mind. You must believe long before the world gives you permission, long before the world applauds, long before the evidence shows up. That is the true test. Can you act as if it's already real when while it's still invisible? This is what separates the few who rise from the many who quit. Understand this. Faith is not a luxury. It's not an optional mindset reserved for the optimistic. Faith is a requirement, the foundation, the beginning of all transformation. You may think you need clarity to begin. You don't. You may think you need resources, motivation, support. You don't. What you need, which is a decision backed by belief, the kind of belief that is felt in your chest, that moves your feet, that speaks louder than doubt, even when your voice shakes. Abraham Lincoln did not know how the war would end. He didn't have certainty in strategy, but he had faith in principle, faith that freedom must win, even if the road cost everything. Henry Ford had no map, no market, no approval, but he believed so deeply in his vision that the world eventually bent to his certainty. Rockefeller built empires before the infrastructure even existed. Why? Because in his mind, it was already done. Edison, Carnegie, Schwab, none of them waited for evidence before they believed. They created the evidence by acting in advance of it. That is what faith does. It precedes the results. But fear? Fear does the opposite. Fear says, I'll wait until I see proof. Faith says, I'll move and then make the proof appear. Which voice do you obey? Fear waits. Fear scrolls. Fear calculates every risk and forgets every reward. Faith builds. Faith acts. Faith believes and moves anyway. And if you think this is just positive thinking, you misunderstand the laws that govern your mind. Your subconscious does not respond to what is true. It responds to what is repeated, what is felt, what is believed. If you repeat fear, your life becomes a pattern of protection. If you repeat belief, your life becomes a pattern of creation. That is why autosuggestion is so vital. Why you don't just hear the words, you speak them, you feel them, you emotionalize them into your subconscious until they become your identity. You don't just say, I believe, you say, I act with faith. I do not wait to feel ready. I know who I am becoming, and I move accordingly. This is how belief is installed. Every day you speak the vision. Every day you move like it's done. Every day you refuse to let fear direct your decisions. That's the part most men miss. They think belief is just mindset, but belief is also motion. If you want to believe, act like you believe, because action reinforces belief. Each time you follow through without evidence, each time you show up when it's hard, each time you keep your word in private, you build a new identity, an identity that says, I don't need proof. I am the proof. Let me give you a law. Belief precedes performance. You will never outperform the image you hold of yourself. So the question is not, can I do it? The question is, what am I rehearsing? What am I telling myself daily in silence? What identity am I speaking into existence or avoiding out of fear? Because the world doesn't respond to potential. It responds to certainty. Certainty in your voice, certainty in your movement, certainty in your presence. You cannot fake that. It must be forged. And you forge it through daily rehearsal, through repetition of belief in the absence of proof. Every morning, speak your vision. Every evening, reflect on your actions. Every hour, refuse to betray the man you said you're becoming, and watch what happens. The fear doesn't vanish, but your faith gets louder. The doubt doesn't disappear, but your decisions override it, until eventually your belief becomes undeniable. And so do you. This is not mysticism. This is not fantasy. This is the reality of how every empire begins, with an invisible vision, believed in so deeply, repeated so often, acted on so boldly, that the world has no choice but to see it too. So choose your belief now. Choose what you'll repeat, because you are always programming your mind. The only question is, with what? Let your faith become your foundation, and let your daily actions as prove it. If there is one trait that separates the builders of history from the men who remain in hesitation their entire lives, it is decisiveness. The ability to choose and never retreat. You do not drift your way into greatness. You decide your way there. One decision, repeated without apology, becomes the dividing line between those who make history and those who only watch it unfold. Let this be understood. Indecision is the breeding ground of fear. And the longer you wait to choose, the louder the doubt becomes. A man who delays decays. Every time you hesitate on your next step, you make room for second guessing, for outside opinion, for fear disguised as logic. And slowly, your energy leaks. Your clarity fades. Your conviction crumbles. And this is why a man must train himself to decide fast and change his mind slowly. That is the habit of the elite. Henry Ford was not a man who asked permission. He did not poll the crowd. When he made a decision, it was final, forged in fire. Even when his own engineers told him that an 8-cylinder engine in one block was impossible, he told them, "Build it anyway." And they did, because his decision was stronger than their doubt. Charles M. Schwab, in the Steel Empire of Carnegie, rose not just because he was competent, but because he was decisive. He didn't hesitate. He didn't dance around responsibility. He moved. He understood the pressure of command and made the hard calls. This is what most miss. They think successful men are the smartest or the most connected. No. They are the most decided. They walk into the day knowing who they are. They don't need to feel ready. They are ready because they said so. Look at Andrew Carnegie. He didn't build his empire through endless research. He built it through direction. One goal, one mission, one purpose, chosen with finality, and from that decision, everything else was shaped. Your life works the same way. Until you decide who you are, the world will keep assigning roles for you. It will hand you scripts. It will offer distractions. It will tempt you to stay average. But when you decide, truly decide, the world has no choice but to rearrange around that choice. Here is the law. Decision creates identity. Indecision preserves the old self. So if you keep drifting back into old habits, it is not because you are weak. It is because you have not decided to leave them behind. What's worse, indecision breeds more indecision. It compounds. And soon your life becomes a loop of almost starts and nearly finished goals. But when you choose, when you burn the bridge, when you kill the backup plan, you create an energy that cannot be faked. That energy? The world responds to it. Your mind aligns to it. Your standards are born from it. Let me give you an instruction. Make one powerful decision today and refuse to revisit it. If it's fitness, decide. If it's business, decide. And if it's who you're becoming, decide now. And when the voice of doubt creeps in, when the temptation to adjust or wait or feel it out shows up, you don't listen because the decision is already made. Thomas Edison didn't ask the light bulb for permission. He didn't wait until he had all the answers. He decided and he pursued over 10,000 attempts, not trials, decisions. You need that same resolve, because each decision, thus backed by definiteness of purpose, builds your internal spine. And once your spine is built, the storms of life lose their power. They cannot move a man who has already decided. Even Abraham Lincoln, who faced the weight of a nation in civil war, was not paralyzed by indecision. He was methodical, but he was final. His Emancipation Proclamation was not born of public applause. It was born of personal resolve. That kind of decision shapes the future. So ask yourself now, what decision have you been avoiding? What goal have you kept open so you don't have to commit? What mission have you left negotiable? Draw the line today. Say it out loud if you have to. I no longer delay. I no longer drift. I no longer entertain versions of me that hesitate. You say it. You write it. You live it. And from that one decision, all other actions flow. Because the truth is this. Most men are not waiting on opportunity. They are waiting on permission to decide. But I tell you now, no one is coming to give it. The greats didn't wait. They chose. So choose. With spine, with fire, with finality. And from that moment forward, you become unshakable. There is a secret embedded in the foundation of every fortune. It is not luck. It is not timing. It is not charm. And it is the habit of doing more than one is paid to do. This law, the law of compensation, governs advancement like gravity governs motion. It does not discriminate. It does not miss. It simply returns to each man the value he contributes, multiplied over time. And here's the truth most will never understand. You are not paid for your time, and you are paid for your value. And value is determined by one thing: how far you're willing to go beyond what is expected. The average man performs at the level of his paycheck. But the exceptional man, he performs at the level of his potential. He doesn't wait to be rewarded. He becomes so effective, so consistent, so deeply valuable that reward becomes inevitable. This is the law, and it cannot be faked. Charles M. Schwab rose from humble beginnings not because he had better education, but because he had better attitude toward work. He became indispensable by making himself irreplaceable. He gave his mind. He gave his energy. He gave more than he was paid for. And because of that, Andrew Carnegie eventually paid him more than any steel man in history. Carnegie himself practiced this principle with almost spiritual devotion. When he built his early career, he worked longer hours, took on greater challenges, volunteered for responsibilities outside his title, not for recognition, but for growth. And that growth, it positioned him for opportunity. This is how the climb begins. You don't get promoted by asking. You get promoted by becoming too valuable to ignore. Understand this. The marketplace pays for impact, not intention. It doesn't matter how long you meant to. It doesn't care how busy you were. It only measures results. And those results are multiplied for the man who consistently goes above and beyond. That's where you must live, and in the extra mile, the unpaid hour, the unseen effort, the quiet improvement. Because here's the secret no one talks about. The extra mile is the emptiest one. And that's why it's where all the power lives. Everyone wants to get ahead, but few are willing to give more than they're asked. Few wake up early without being told. Few deliver excellence when average is accepted. Few take ownership of mistakes that weren't even theirs. But the few who do, they rise. Thomas Edison did not stop when the world said, enough. He worked relentlessly, not to clock hours, but to produce value. Over 1,000 patents, invention after invention. Why? Because he focused not on reward, but on output, and reward followed. And this is why you must detach from immediate return. If you only act when rewarded, you will forever be enslaved by permission. But if you act from principle, from the law itself, you become independent of circumstances. You act not for applause, but because you are the kind of man who does more than what is required. And over time, the world catches up. Henry Ford didn't invent the car. He revolutionized the process. He built something better, faster, more accessible. He didn't stop at good enough. He pushed boundaries. He over-delivered. And because of that, the market followed him. Success is not reserved for the lucky. It is earned by the man who outserves, outimproves, and outlasts. That is what you must install, not just in business, but in your home, in your discipline, in your mission. When you do more than expected, you become more than expected. You grow. You gain self-respect. You earn influence. And most importantly, you rise above the competition without needing to destroy anyone else. So here's your challenge. Where can you overdeliver today? What extra detail can you improve? What skill can you sharpen without being asked? What task can you complete better than expected? And once you answer, you do it, not once, but daily, until excellence becomes your habit and your name becomes associated with certainty. Because that's the highest currency, certainty of execution. The man who always delivers, even when no one's watching, becomes the man who is always called on when it matters. So if you want to advance, if you want to rise, if you want to build a reputation that makes opportunity chase you, not the other way around, then stop asking for more and start giving more, quietly, relentlessly, with no need for credit, because credit will come. Compensation will come. Recognition will come. But only if you build yourself into the kind of man who doesn't need it. Say this aloud. I do more than what I'm paid to do. I am not average. I move with excellence, even when no one is watching. And if you repeat that, and you live that, you will never lack opportunity again. Because the law is simple. He who gives more becomes more. And he who becomes more will always have more. You may have strength. You may have intelligence. You may have the most brilliant plan in the world. But if your presence repels others, if your energy repels trust, if your manner of speech pushes people away instead of drawing them near, then your power will never reach its full expression. Because the truth is this, no man rises alone. And the one who knows how to influence others with warmth, confidence, and clarity will always move faster and farther than the man who tries to force everything by brute strength. This is what we call a pleasing personality, not manipulation, not charm, but a cultivated energy, one that magnetizes others without begging for attention. It is the invisible factor behind the most successful men in history. The quality that opens doors, that earns loyalty, that multiplies influence. Let me tell you plainly, a pleasing personality is not a gift. It is a discipline. It is a product of self-awareness, emotional control, and intentional practice. Andrew Carnegie built one of the greatest fortunes in history, not because he was the loudest, but because he knew how to make others feel seen. He listened more than he spoke. He praised more than he criticized. He mastered the art of influence, not through domination, but through presence. And that presence made others want to work with him. It drew power toward him. Charles M. Schwab was famous for this. Though not a technical genius, he became president of U.S. Steel because of how he made people feel. He smiled often. He remembered names. He made others feel important. And through that, he got the best out of his team without ever raising his voice. Because power isn't just force. Power is the ability to move others willingly. You must understand this. A pleasing personality isn't about being fake. It's not about being soft. It's about refining yourself into someone whose presence communicates, this man is worth trusting. This man is worth following. And that doesn't mean becoming a performer. It means mastering these quiet disciplines. Tone of voice. Speak with conviction, not hesitation. Facial expression. A calm, confident presence speaks before you say a word. Genuine interest. People remember how you made them feel. Ask real questions. Listen deeply. Optimism. A pleasing personality does not dwell in negativity. It uplifts. It radiates certainty. The world is full of loud, bitter, argumentative men trying to prove themselves. But the man with a pleasing personality, he doesn't argue, he doesn't shout, he doesn't overexplain. He influences, he persuades, he builds bridges where others burn them. Thomas Edison worked with teams of brilliant minds, and though he was intensely driven, he understood the value of collaboration, of creating a magnetic environment that made others want to contribute. His laboratories weren't just centers of invention, they were environments charged with positive expectancy. That's what a pleasing personality creates. Movement without resistance. Now let's make it practical. If you want to be powerful, you must become likable. Not because you seek approval, but because you understand this law. People move faster for men they admire. When you speak with respect, others give you respect. When you walk with presence, others feel it before you speak. When you remove the need to prove, you gain the ability to persuade. And persuasion moves mountains. Ask yourself, do people feel stronger after speaking with me? Do I make others feel valued, not by flattery, but by attention? Do I carry myself with calm authority or chaotic energy? Because here's the bottom line. The most powerful man in the room is not the one who talks the most, but the one others listen to when he finally speaks. Abraham Lincoln is remembered as one of the greatest presidents, not because he dominated others, but because he combined firmness with humility. He communicated with simplicity, with clarity, with presence. Even in the darkest times, he radiated a pleasing personality that gave the people confidence. Henry Ford, for all his brilliance, knew the importance of harmony. He didn't surround himself with yes men, but he valued those who could communicate ideas with calm, strength, and direction. He was not polished in speech, but he was consistent in presence. And consistency creates trust. That's the essence of a pleasing personality. You don't chase attention, you command it through character. So here's your challenge. Speak less. And when you do, speak with intention. Smile more, not as a mask, but as a message. I am in command of my energy. Move slowly, speak clearly, make others feel seen, and most of all, live your life in such a way that your presence makes others want to be better. Because that's the highest form of influence, the man who uplifts everyone around him without effort, simply by being who he is. Repeat this daily. My presence is calm, powerful, and persuasive. I make others feel seen, heard, and understood. I do not argue, I influence. And over time, that energy becomes magnetic. The world starts leaning toward you, not because you shouted, but because you built yourself into a man worth following. There is a law, one so powerful, so consistent, that those who live by it are destined to rise, and those who violate it are sentenced to mediocrity. It is not written in stone. It is not taught in schools. It is rarely mentioned in conversations about success. And yet, every successful man I've ever known obeyed this law like it was scripture. It is the law of increasing returns. The man who does more than he is paid for will soon be paid for more than he does. Let that echo. Because it is not a motivational phrase, but it is an economic truth, a spiritual truth, a universal truth. The average man says, I'll give more when I get more. But the builder, the man who commands his life, says, I'll give more now and let the rewards find me later. And they always do. Look at Andrew Carnegie. He began as a poor boy in a telegraph office. He wasn't asked to learn how to read and write Morse code fluently. He wasn't required to memorize rail routes. But he did. He went beyond the role. Beyond the instruction, beyond the bare minimum, and what happened? The people in power noticed, not instantly, but inevitably. And from that small post, he rose to become one of the richest men in the world. How? He gave value first, without asking, without keeping score, without demand. The man who goes the extra mile makes himself irreplaceable, because while others perform the duty, he delivers the result. While others ask, what am I owed? He asks, what else can I give? You must understand, life does not pay you based on the clock. It pays you based on value. Your time means nothing if it produces little. But your effort, your initiative, your refusal to cut corners or wait for reward, that makes you unstoppable. Thomas Edison knew this well. His work ethic was legendary. Thousands of failed experiments, sleepless nights, years of obsessive experimentation. He didn't demand guarantees. He gave everything. First. And only after results were produced, the world handed him its rewards. Now let me ask you, are you doing the minimum? Are you only rising when someone's watching? Are you only moving when it's convenient? Because the universe keeps score, not of your hours, but of your initiative. The world might not reward you immediately, but it will eventually, and far beyond what you expect, if you make this a habit. Start where you are. If you work a job, stop asking what your role is. Start asking what your standard is. If you're building a business, stop asking what clients will pay for. Start asking what would blow them away. If you're building a skill, don't just check the box. Stay longer, push deeper, stretch further. Because every time you exceed the expectation, every time you cross the invisible line of enough and keep going, you separate yourself from the pack. You become unforgettable. You become trusted. You become indispensable. Let me remind you, Charles M. Schwab wasn't promoted for doing his job. He was promoted because he multiplied value. He encouraged others. He pushed teams. He asked what else could be done. He went above. Not for attention, but because it was who he was. That's what you must become. The man who gives more than is asked, more than is expected, more than is required. And the key? Do it when no one sees it. Do it when no one claps. Do it until it's your identity, because that identity becomes a magnet for opportunity. Henry Ford built an empire not just because of what he knew, but because he demanded more from himself and from others. Faster production, smarter engineering, better value for the customer. He always asked, how can we give more? And as a result, he received more than any man in his field. But remember, it started small. Every great leap begins with invisible effort, so begin today. Ask yourself, where am I meeting the minimum? Where can I exceed the standard? Where can I act not like an employee, not like a worker, but like an owner? And once you find that answer, live it. You'll feel resistance. Others will mock you. They'll say you're working too hard, caring too much, doing too much for nothing. But the rewards of going the extra mile are never immediate. They are delayed, but multiplied. They come in the form of respect, of trust, of opportunity, of leadership, and eventually, of wealth. Say this daily. I do not ask what I'm owed, I ask what I can give. I exceed expectations as a way of life. I am the man who goes the extra mile, because that's where greatness begins. And let those words take root, because the man who lives by them, he never stays at the bottom for long. Let me tell you something you already know, but may not have accepted. Watching this once is not enough. You cannot rewire your entire system in a single sitting. You cannot kill a decade of fear with one round of motivation. You cannot erase the old programming with inspiration alone, because your subconscious mind does not respond to one-time information. It responds to repetition. To imprint a new belief, you must burn it in again and again until it becomes more familiar than your doubts. So let this truth echo through your mind. Repetition is the language of the subconscious, and the strongest loop always wins. If your old loop is, I'm not good enough, it will dominate until a stronger one replaces it. If the dominant signal in your life is hesitation, that will become your identity. But if you feed your mind day after day with power, with certainty, with a voice that reminds you of who you really are, then the old voice loses volume, not by force, but by frequency. That's why auto-suggestion is not optional. It is the method, the tool, the mechanism by which you reprogram who you are at the core. And how does it work? You play this again. You speak the lines aloud, not casually, but with energy. You memorize the phrases that struck you. You repeat them in your mind when resistance rises. You let this message become your mental software. You don't listen for entertainment. You listen for identity installation. Because you are not just here to feel better, You are here to become unrecognizable. Let me show you something. Close your eyes and say this to yourself. I am not afraid. I act without hesitation. I am focused. I am certain. I am becoming who I was meant to be. Feel what happens in your body when you say those words. Do you feel it shift? That's not imagination. That's neural reinforcement. That's your identity being updated in real time. Now multiply that by 90 days. You say it once, it's a spark. You say it every morning for 90 days, it's a circuit. And you speak it until it becomes your baseline. Until the words don't just sound strong, they are your voice. Because here's the law. What you feed forms you. What you repeat becomes you. So don't let this message fade. Don't treat it like a video. Treat it like a ritual. Build your morning around it. Make it part of your environment. And if someone asks why you keep playing the same message again and again, tell them this. Because I'm not here to be entertained. I'm here to be rebuilt. Your mind is programmable. Always has been. The only question is, who's writing the code? From this moment forward, you are. So play this again. Speak the words with fire. Walk into your day with certainty, because every time you repeat power, you weaken fear. And now, let's close this chapter the only way a man committed to transformation should. You've listened. You've absorbed truth after truth. Not theories, but tools. But now comes the most important part. You walk. Not as the man who started this video, but as the man who has already become what he used to chase. You don't move like you're trying. You don't speak like you're hoping. You walk like it's done. That's the posture of a man with power, not because he knows everything, but because he knows himself. So from this moment forward, you move differently. You walk into the gym like the transformation already happened. You step into your work like the breakthrough already came. You make decisions like success is already unfolding behind the scenes. Because guess what? It is. Everything is working in your favor, but only if you act like it. Faith is not passive. Faith moves. Faith builds. Faith walks like the outcome is certain. That's not delusion. That's identity. That's alignment. So before this video ends, before you step back into the world, I want you to say this with power. Out loud, spine tall, chest forward. I am not afraid. I act without hesitation. Everything is working in my favor, and I move like it. Now say it again, slower, and mean it. I am not afraid. I act without hesitation. Everything is working in my favor, and I move like it. That is your identity script now. You don't need validation. You don't need applause. You don't need anyone to understand the fire that's burning in your chest. You just need to keep going. Because the world rewards the man who moves with certainty. Not noise, not explanation, certainty. You don't have to explain your decisions to people who haven't earned the right to hear them. You don't need permission to rise. You don't need a green light to act. You are the green light. You're not waiting for a breakthrough. You are the breakthrough. And every action you take from this moment forward, it must reflect that. Move like the man who already has what he came for. Speak like someone whose voice creates the result. Wake up tomorrow like momentum is waiting for you. Because it is. The universe responds to certainty. Life bends to belief. And the version of you who used to hesitate, he doesn't exist anymore. Because now you walk like it's done. Let them wonder what changed. Let them feel the shift when you walk into a room. Let them sense the silence in your presence. The kind of silence that doesn't come from not knowing, but from knowing too much to waste words. You've done the mental work. Now walk it out. Every room you enter, every action you take, every plan you make, make it from the man who already is.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.